let's have a wee word of prayer and we'll sing some song. Dear loving Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for everyone that's here, for our lovely weather, Lord. Thank you, Father, for just watching over us. And Lord, for all the songs, for keeping your word for us. And Lord, for this wee shelter from the storm, even in these good days, Lord, in Bethel. I pray that you would be one of our number. I pray you too, Father, that you would just bless these, accept these hymns and praises. And Lord, that you would give ear to our prayers. Please put your good hand upon those that's just not 100%. Pray you too for Dr. Shang and Frank as they travel, for John and for Pat and Steve, for Colin to wherever he is and whatever he's doing. For all those souls, Lord, that have received a reminder of just how much you love them and want them in heaven. Lord, we pray for your will to be done. Please be one of our number, and Lord, let us enjoy this time in your presence as we study your word and lift up these hands. We ask all this, Father, in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's sing some of those hymns. If I start in this one, I'm going to have to change my glasses. So, I know what we're going to sing. We're going to sing number 27 first. Number 27 is the big hymn book. Yep, definitely going to have to change my glasses. Number 27 is the Old Rugged Cross, and we will remain seated as we sing.
Oh, Out of their own hearts, hear ye the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God, woe unto the foolish prophets that follow their own spirit and have seen nothing. O Israel, thy prophets are like the foxes in the desert. Ye have not gone up into the gaps, neither made up the hedge for the house of Israel to stand in the battle in the day of the Lord. They have seen vanity and lying divination, saying, the Lord saith, and the Lord hath not sent them, and they have made others to hope that they would confirm the word. Have you not seen a vain vision, and have you not spoken a lying divination? For as to say, the Lord saith it, albeit I have not spoken. Therefore thus saith the Lord God, because you have spoken vanity and seen lies, therefore behold, I am against you, saith the Lord God. And my hand shall be upon the prophets, and see vanity, and that divine lies, they shall not be an assembly of my people, neither shall they be written in the writing of the house of Israel. Neither shall they enter into the land of Israel, and ye know now, and ye shall know that I am the Lord God. Because they have seduced my people, saying, peace, and there was no peace, and one built up a wall, and lo, others daubed it with untempered mortar. Say unto them which daub it with untempered mortar, that is, shall fall. There shall be an overflowing shower, and yea, O great hailstones shall fall, and the stormy wind shall rend it. Lo, when the wall is fallen, shall it not be said unto you, where is the daubing wherewith ye have daubed it? Therefore thus saith the Lord God, I will even rend it with a stormy wind in my fury, and there shall be an overflowing shower in mine anger, and great hailstones in my fury to consume it. So shall I break down the wall that ye have daubed, and untempered with untempered mortar, and bring it down to the ground, so that the foundation thereof shall be discovered, and it shall fall. And ye shall be consumed in the midst thereof, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. Thus will I accomplish my wrath upon that wall, and upon them that have daubed it with untempered mortar, and will say unto you, the wall is no more, neither they that daubed it. To wit, the prophets of Israel, which prophesy concerning Jerusalem, and which see visions of peace for her. And there is no peace, saith the Lord God. Likewise, thou son of man, set thy face against the daughters of thy people, which prophesy out of their own hearts, and prophesy thou against them. And say thus, saith the Lord God, woe to the woman that sew pillows to all armed horse, and make kerchiefs upon their head, upon the head of every statue to hunt souls. Will ye hunt the souls of my people? And will ye save the souls of alive that come unto you? And will ye pollute me among my people for handfuls of barley and for pieces of bread, to slay the souls that should not die, and to save the souls alive that should not live, by your lying to my people that hear your lies? Wherefore thus saith the Lord God, behold, I am against your pillows, wherewith ye there hunt the souls to make them fly, and I will tear them from your arms, and will let the souls go, even the souls that ye hunt to make them fly. Your kerchiefs also will I tear, and deliver my people out of your hand, and they shall be no more in your hand to be hunted, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. Because of the lies ye have made the hearts of the righteous sad, and mine have not made sad, and strengthened the hands of the wicked, that thou should not return them from wicked ways by promising them life. Therefore ye shall see no more vanity nor divine deviation, for I will deliver my people out of your hand, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. Amen.
Ezekiel chapter 13, some of those verses could be read straight out of our political leaders' halls of power, corridors of power. Amen. Amen. Just want to remind everybody about the little gopher grey this morning. I think it's light green, grey, or blue. I can't quite tell, but does anybody have anything they would like to add to this little prayer list this morning?
Have you got Jim Jackson on?
Jim Jackson is on with that. Yes, we were up visiting Jim Jackson on Friday, and they have him sitting up and sitting out of his bed, but he is not in very good condition. He can't get out of bed, and he can't even sit in the chair unless someone puts him there. So we managed to get a wee word with him and speak to him about his soul. He is not saved. Please do pray that he would devote a little bit of time to considering his next steps, please, because As he said himself, it's a long day when you're sitting in hospital looking up at the same ceiling and the same four walls. I've been there, wouldn't wish it on anybody else. But I'm glad I had the Lord there with me to keep my head screwed on, because I wouldn't like to have thought about the alternative. What was Richard's surname?
Keyes.
I would ask if you would pray for a young fellow called Richard Keyes. I think he's in his 40s, but he works for the body shop guy in Campsie Industrial Estate. And he's a solid fellow. He's had problems with substance abuse over the years. And pray for his salvation, if you would. Anything else? Yes, Mrs. Bradfield.
Your dad's journey home tomorrow.
We're not letting him go. he only thinks he's leaving. The roadworks that are out there are actually just to point, change the signs that Port of Down is back this direction. Yep, Dad will be travelling tomorrow back to Port of Down. And Frank and Dr. Shine will be travelling this week, is it?
Yes. Wednesday.
Wednesday, so Thursday?
No, Tuesday, Dad will be this in my city, and Wednesday morning, fly back.
So don't forget Frank and Dr. Shine as they travel as well. Traveling. An extra star for anyone that can tell me what date Wednesday is. 24th.
I want him to stay there longer.
Don't worry about that. I will edit that out and post it. I think that's about that. Still a lot to pray about out in the world. There's a lot of stuff going on. The Bible says if you bless the Jews, the Lord will bless you. It doesn't say anything about whether you have to be saved to avail of that blessing. But way back in the book of Genesis, the Lord promised Abraham that if anyone that blessed him would be blessed of God, and anyone that cursed him or set his hand against him would be cursed of God. And I've seen through history what happens to people that curse God, curse the Jews, and I wouldn't wish that for anybody either. Anybody got any thanks?
Weather?
That's for one. Yes, well.
Cold's cleared up. Almost cleared up.
Good. The weird one was in Bradford.
Yes, the work done around our house. Did that sound very emphatic?
People that might be listening might not quite know. Notice she said not the work done in the house, because the work done around the house is my purview. Trying to say that I never get anything done unless we get my dad down to.
That's your guilty conscience.
That's what that thing is. That's why. Does anybody have any private requests, not private jokes, but private prayer requests? Well, Norma, Mrs. Bradfield, Blank, and I have two. Lord knows what those are. If you have any private prayer requests, only need your name and not the contents of it, we will certainly pray for your request. Just one other thing. I do believe Pastor Bishop is still receiving chemo treatments. We would appreciate if you would continue to pray for him too. I think that's about that. Let's have a word of prayer, and then we will sing a song or two. Let's go dry some bottles. Dear loving Heavenly Father, we do indeed thank you for all your many helps and blessings. And Lord, it's just that time to come before you, and we have a bit of a shopping list of stuff, thanks and prayer requests. First of all, Lord, for those private prayers we keep in our heads, I pray, Father, that those would be dealt with according to your will. You know where they are. Pray, Father, for health issues.
I pray, Father, for legal issues, for battles to be fought in men's and women's hearts and minds before we turn up. Lord, you know. And I pray that you would grant our private prayer requests and petitions according to your will. But Lord, we pray and ask you for safe travels for my dad, for John Bradfield, as he heads back to Portadown tomorrow morning or afternoon, for Frank and Dr. Shine as they travel back from China to here on Wednesday. Thank the Lord for Will's health improving. Lord, we pray you too for Jim Jackson, for Richard Keyes, and for that fellow Lenny Moore, Lord. We remember all of these, so you know each and every one of their needs. Pray for us as well, Lord. You know each one of our needs and what it is that we need from the service today. And I pray that you would supply that too. And we do indeed pray for Ed Bissett, Lord. He's gone through the mill a little bit of late. And I just thank you, Father, for everything you were able to do for him, using the hands of the surgeons, doctors and nurses. And I pray, Lord, that he would walk away from this unscathed. Please bless and keep us, Father. Save souls wherever we go, Lord. I pray that we would take a portion of the Bible with us, that you would use the words, the leaflets, the good old songs, Lord, all of these things to reach people in our country. You would speak to souls around the world, that you would most certainly preserve Israel and provision our people, Lord. Most of all, Father, we pray for your will to be done. And that you would, again, be one of our number for the rest of this service. We love you and thank you. Amen. All right, let's sing some more of those songs that we've prayed about. If you would like to take the big books and turn to 303. 303 in the big books is My Faith Looks Up to This. 303, My Faith Looks Up to This. We'll remain seated as we sing.
Thank you.
anybody have a favourite that they'd like for us all to sing? I've got the last hymn picked. Does anybody have a favourite?
243, Mark.
243. Victory in Jesus. Here you go. Let's stand as we sing 243. 243. Victory in Jesus.
And then
2 Timothy chapter 2 this morning. 2 Timothy chapter 2. I'd like to take a few minutes, see us into the afternoon, on the subject of 2 Timothy chapter 2, on the subject of conquered or friended. Conquered or friended. 2 Timothy chapter 2, beginning at verse number 19, and reading through until the end. Amen. It's good to be out in the house of the Lord on such a lovely morning. Good to be able to see it in glorious technicolor and hear it in stereo. Amen. Many times, even as a Christian, when I have neglected, and we do sometimes, our time with the Lord, things lose their taste and their colour and their sound, and life just gets a bit grey and mottled. So I'm glad to be here, and I'm glad to have the Word of God and all the power and promises that it offers each and every one of us. And I hope that this will be a help to you this morning. 2 Timothy chapter 2, beginning at verse number 19. The Word of God says, "Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. And let every one that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honour and some to dishonour. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honour, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. Flee also youthful lusts, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace, with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. But foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they engender strifes, and the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach and patient, in meekness instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will." Amen. Verse number 25 is our text this morning. We'll have a look at the others. There's only a handful of them. In the meantime, we'll have a word of prayer. Will, if you would be okay just to leave us, that would be great. Thank you.
Father, for such a lovely morning, Lord, we could come into your house today, Lord. We show us to be a blessing, and Lord, we welcome you and your Son, Lord Jesus Christ, and for your salvation through your Lord Jesus Christ, who came from the earth to die for sins, Lord. Lord, we accept him as your own personal Savior and repent for sins. Lord, we have to choose at this time, Lord, for many children, keep safe and well, Lord, and give them the message of salvation, Lord, to Jesus Christ, Lord. Save them by the heart, Lord, and also protect them from any harm and any danger, Lord. Keep safe and well in home and as well throughout the world as well, Lord. Lord, we for our land, keep the politicians working to godly laws, Lord, and revoke all godly laws, Lord. See us all mighty and powerfully, Lord, wherever they may be, the tracts, the speaking of the gospel, Lord, street corners, and the street preachers, and the ministers, and the pastors, and evangelists, and teachers, Lord, and Christians as well, Lord. May you use those words, Lord, to reflect those who are lost, Lord, and return the backs to theirs, Lord, Lord. Give us this day, Lord, give mark the function from the Holy Spirit, Lord, and may we see a blessing in our lives, in our hearts, and minds, Lord, and our souls, Lord. And we also give you all honor for the word of Jesus Christ, the King,
amen. Thank you, Lord. Just going back a little bit and covering actually most of this chapter of God's Word, the two epistles, the two letters of Paul that Paul wrote to Timothy, are two letters of encouragement and direction to a young minister. Paul was giving, as they say in this neck of the woods, Paul was giving Timothy a few wrinkles, hopefully giving him experiences that he wouldn't have to learn himself, but that he could learn at even Paul's own expense. 2 Timothy obviously is the last letter that Paul wrote to Timothy. And as we read this portion of God's Word, It tells us from earlier on in the chapter, from the very beginning, it encourages us to be strong in the grace. In other words, to capitalize on it and to depend upon it, especially in the face of other things that are going on in the world. It also says that we should share the word of God with people. Those same words that help and comfort you and that take worries away will do the same for others who share them. One thing it doesn't say is that whenever you become a Christian and start telling people about God's judgment for sin and salvation, it doesn't say people are going to love you. It says life might get a bit more difficult, and when it does, it says endure this hardness as a good soldier of Christ. Sometimes that means, just like every other pursuit that men have, that things will have to be left behind. And that happens for Christians too. If you look at any athlete as they, I was going to say study, but practice in their form, or any soldier, I don't think there are any couches in army barracks with 55-inch TVs where men can sit with their feet up on a chair eating crisps and ice cream all day whilst they binge-watch the latest series of Rizzolian Islands or Starsky and Hutch. I don't think that exists in an army barrack. It means you're going to have to train yourself. One other thing, and this is strangely a touchy thing in Christian circles, is about money. And Paul says, look, Timothy, if you're living off the church, don't be afraid to live off the church. The church, the people in the church, they give their tithes, they give their offerings, and that's how the minister lives. So don't be afraid, don't be killing yourself because you're not eating, or if there's something that needs done, get it done. The husbandman that laboureth must be first partakers of the fruits. And he goes on, and Paul gives a little bit of a rendition of the gospel, where he encourages Timothy to study, to use the gospel in his own life. But I don't know about you, have you noticed how many other gospels there are out there? Every weekend we are treated in London to the gospel of the Muslim, where the best way to get to heaven is to die in jihad with the blood of unbelievers on your hands, and you will go into an eternity of, is it 70 virgins on 70 beds? 75? Two? For what the thanks will. You're not Googling that in the church, are you? Anyway, with the strength to indulge yourself and to eat all of the things in eternity that they were not allowed to eat right now, which makes me wonder what indeed that is all about. Or we can have the religion of do the best that you can, and God will weigh your good deeds against your bad and let you into heaven. Two of those things are true, and one of those things is a lie. We should do the best that we can. And for the soul that doesn't accept Christ as their Savior, God will weigh your good deeds against your bad. But sadly, your good deeds are going to be away up here. There's not much to them when it comes to comparing them to our bad deeds. And God won't let you into heaven. A liar, a good liar, always knows to flavor his lie with some of the truth. And here we get to verse number 19. For the Christian, there is a foundation. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3 it says, no other foundation can be laid except that which is laid, which is Christ Jesus. And the reason for that is no other faith has the foundation of Jesus Christ except Bible-believing Christianity. And a person that trusts in Christ Jesus is saved when their health fails. They are saved when society fails. They are saved when their heroes fail. They are saved whenever friends pass away. They are saved whenever they are up. They are saved whenever they are down. They are saved if they're in the full flush of youth or if they're literally standing on the precipice of eternity. That foundation never leaves you, cannot leave you, because Christ keeps you in the palm of his hand. So it's, remember that. Once you're saved for free, you're saved forever, you're saved for sure, because Christ keeps you in the palm of his hand, not you, he does. As we read on in this little portion of God's word, we see a verse that has become dear to me, if you like, and often used out of context, verses 20 and 21, where it talks about a great house, and some people read that and speak about that as if that is the whole world, but it's not. That is talking about the great house is Christ's house, and we're his children. And it says that some of us are like vessels of gold. Some of us are noble, some of us are well educated. Some of us are silver, maybe not so noble, maybe not so well educated, and some of us are of wood and earth, just Joe Public. That's a little bit like going to your cupboard when you want to get a drink, and you see, for some reason, I like a fine china teacup or a glass, like a glass teacup. But there are people that like a mug, and there are people that will drink their drink out of a plastic cup or a metal cup, a camping cup. Back in the days, they used to make cups out of wood. I'm going to tell you something, friends. I don't care what cup I'm drinking out of as long as it's clean. I don't want to see floaters in my cup, because who knows whose floaters there are. And there's been a few times when I have stirred my cup with the fork that I use for my dinner, and only the fact I know it's a bit of food coming off my cup, that would be going down the sink. I don't like floaters in my drinking water, my goodness. And that's exactly what God says. God says, if you want a clean cup, clean it. And says, if you want to be, what does he say? A vessel unto honor. Paul says to Timothy, that person needs to straighten himself up. If you want to be sanctified and meet and ready for God's service, you need to straighten yourself up. And that is done by, the next portion of God's word says, fleeing youthful lusts. Keeping your head screwed on and not fighting with people. Sadly, when it comes to dealing with souls, there will be a little bit of strife, but it shouldn't originate with the man of God or indeed the woman of God. The verses that really spoke to me about this portion of God's word, this title that we have for the message about being conquered or friended, gives the spirit with which we should speak to soul, one of meekness. It doesn't mean you're going to rule over me, but it means I am not going to rule over you. I'm speaking to you as a friend. I'm speaking to you as someone that cares about you and wants for you to hear these words and understand these words and then take them and run with them and do something. And there is a reason for that, because saved or lost, when you hear the preaching of the cross, the saved person may realize, hold on, I am drinking, smoking, running about the country, cursing, swearing, etc., etc., etc. I think I should stop that, because that is stopping me from growing in Christ. The lost person should say, hold on a wee second, I'm not saved. I need to get saved, otherwise I'm not getting to heaven. One way or the other, and just because you get saved doesn't mean the devil leaves you alone. One way or another, he's out there to trip us all up. It sounds like a job of work before you even get to living the Christian life, to be quite honest with you. And many people think that once they have studied, and once they have cleaned their lives up, and once they have done all of these things, that they are ready. There's no stopping. And I remember one particular time going out, I had been learning Bible verses the whole morning and the afternoon. I'd gotten a day off before we went out tracking. And I was sitting committing Bible verses to my memory, and I was sure I was going to go out there and those Bible verses were going to come out of my mouth like shot out of a shotgun, and it was going to blow away any opposition whatsoever that I got at the doors. But I'll tell you something, I forgot every single verse that I had spent the day trying to learn, and it was no good to me, because I didn't go out to help people, I went out to conquer people, to beat people. That's not what God wants. We are not conquering. We are not kings. We're not like Nebuchadnezzar, the king of the world, with some of the fiercest fighting men that the world has ever seen in the Chaldeans, biting, baying at our heels, ready to, with the slobbers flinging everywhere. You ever see those dogs, those big Rottweilers? They sit and look at you with those big droopy lips. And as soon as you put a biscuit in front of them, it's like someone switched a tap on. We're not like that. We're supposed to want the best for folks. Not a general, a conquering general, but more like a first aider, a friend that is willing and able to render assistance. The Bible says with meekness, with humility. Way back in the book of Exodus, the Lord spoke to Moses as he did a friend. And that is the way we're supposed to approach people, as friends. Because is that not what we want for lost souls? We want to make them brothers and sisters in Christ. Are you not supposed to be on good terms with your family? Traditionally, yes, although in these last days, sadly, much of Bible prophecy is coming to pass, where it said the man's enemies will be they of his own household. We're supposed to be friendly. We're supposed to be helpful. We're supposed to be understanding that the same God that saved us, and we weren't conquered, I wasn't conquered, the same God that saved me wants to use me to see other people saved, and the same for you. Now, the title for the message was Conquered or Friended. I have to spend a little bit of time in this message talking about sin. Because we need to know not just that it's good to be saved, but we need to know what we're saved from. Sin. And many times in the Word of God, it talks about sin. It even names the sin. It talks about drunkenness. It talks about immorality. It talks about not being filled with drugs, not polluting your body, because God will destroy you if you pollute your body. I know sometimes you have to take blood pressure medications, and as life goes on, and we get thicker blood, thicker skulls, thicker skin. You need to take a wee bit of medicine for that too. I'm not talking about tablets and things that keep you living. I'm talking about tablets that affect you, affect your behavior, and affect that people take for recreational reasons. All of these things, they might start out innocently and, oh, go on, take one, just try it and see. But they use the lie of the devil, that a little bit of what you fancy will be okay. I'm going to tell you something. I remember reading many, many years ago that all it takes is one hit of heroin to make you an addict. So one, the lie is a little bit of what you fancy will not hurt you. That is a lie. That is a complete and utter lie. A lie that has dragged many people down to a sinner's hell. God talks about us being in bondage to sin. Now if you're in bondage, if you're a prisoner of sin, that means you're shackled. You can't go where you want to go. You can't do what you want to do. You have no control over your life, because the sin that you have called your own has control over you. I know many times it starts very simply. Oh, I'll just do a little bit of that, or I'll have a little bit of that. Everything in moderation, you've heard that, haven't you? That's a lie of the devil as well. Everything in moderation. When people say that, I say, well, I fancy a little bit of bank robbery. You don't mind if I take the wallet, do you? He said, but that doesn't seem very nice. The Bible says you shouldn't steal, but you've just told me that what you believe is everything in moderation. For whatever I think is most important in the world, that's what it should be. And I normally carry a little pocket knife and I'll say, give me your watch, give me your wallet, and give me your car keys. And people don't seem to take that well at all for some reason. Because a little bit of what you want or whatever you think is not the most important thing in the world. God warns us about these things. I'm going to share you a little bit of personal experience of late. I'm trying to quit tea. Because I find with tea, that must be something to do with the caffeine, I get a shake. And I have been a few days without tea, and the shaking has greatly decreased. But I'm telling you, it's hard. Because I seem to remember that toast tastes better with tea and marmalade. Those little raw brownies that Monica makes, they taste better with tea. Digestive tastes better with tea. Salad tastes better with tea. Even sausages, beans, and eggs and hash browns taste better with tea. And butter, you know, all of those things that are healthy. And I have to make a conscious decision not to take tea whenever I go to the tea cupboard. The tea is there. The Netherland peppermint's there, and the Chinese tea is there, the jasmine tea, the green tea, and the green tea bags, and there's fresh nettles outside. And I have to say, you're not having tea. And my body is going, oh, but I love it so much, and you know everything. Life will just be better with it. I'm sure Monica went through the same with coffee. But that's not just tea. Cigarettes do that. Coffee does it as well for people that are trying to quit that too. How many painkillers are just the same? Norman, you're laughing for far too long. You sound like a man. You're either laughing at my misfortune or thanking the Lord you didn't have to quit coffee or something. You think about the people on marijuana or cocaine. And you know the way that goes. It goes from recreational use to every day I must have it to live use. Because it sinks its claws in it. It grasps your hand very tenderly at the start. And it's a bit like a cat's paw. Have you ever seen a cat's paw? They're so fluffy and they're so nice and they're so sweet. And they'll roll over for you to rub their tummy. And all of a sudden you have like 20 claws stuck in the back of your hand. That is exactly the way sin works. Full stop. Whether it's immorality, violence, profanity, blasphemy, sports, thrills. That's the way sin works. It grabs a hold and it's sore to get those claws out. Have the scars to prove it too. Even the pursuit of money. You know what the Bible says about money? The love of money is the root of all evil. Which why some having coveted after, they have erred from the truth and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. And anything that makes you behave in that way, anything, an addiction, it's not good for you. It's not in your best interest. I'll tell you something else. It will require your constant attention. It will require your money. It will require your effort. And eventually it will displace everything that is good and proper in your life until there's only room left for it in the world. A lot of people say, oh, the church is only after your money. That's why I go to the pub. Pubs aren't charities. Pubs want your money. And in fact, as somebody once says, a pub is the only organization that is ashamed of its best customers. Think on that one for a second. They are just like religion. And they demand you fit in or else. I know as we read the Word of God and we take our cues from the Word of God, people will say, you're just reading from the book that makes Christians and Jews look good. I'm going to tell you something, friends. The Bible does not make Jews and Christians look good. We've been reading in Ezekiel, not far from where Norman is right now. And it is almost like after David and Solomon, it has just been a litany of disaster and rebellion one time after the other, and the Bible records them all in painstaking detail. It does not make the Jews look good. It makes them look like the sinners they are, striving to follow a thrice holy God. And it's the same for us as Christians. We need a lot of encouragement. More importantly, in this world with all the distractions, and there are a lot of them, we need the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. The Word of God tells a different story. The God of this world, the God of addiction, he doesn't have a counterpart. He has a creator. The Bible records that the devil was created perfect in all his ways until iniquity was found in, and then he was cast out. This is what the God of the Bible says about himself, about his Son, Christ Jesus, the Messiah, the Word of God, and about the Holy Spirit, the Comforter. It tells us that God loves us. And I know, I am sure you can think of a few people that you couldn't like them if they were dipped in chocolate. You literally couldn't. But God loves each and every one of us. Because each and every one of us is a diamond in the rough. And if, when, we give our consent for God to save our souls and invite him into our lives, he will start polishing that. And he will start chipping off the bits that don't look good. And he will, you've seen the difference. Has anybody seen a diamond in the rough? It literally looks like a piece of glass. They don't come out looking like the chunk of rock that goes on the lady's ring finger. They come out, they literally look like a piece of glass. And the jeweler. He chips and he cuts and I don't think he sands, but he definitely does a lot of chipping until that, and then he polishes. And then he sets that thing in gold, and that is a beautiful thing, and that's what God wants to do for us. And he's demonstrated this over thousands of years. This book wasn't just written 2,000 years ago. Take about 4,000 years to get from the start to the finish of it. It's an ongoing history. And God has demonstrated this. First of all, in the book itself. Second of all, and most importantly, in his Son Jesus Christ, the Messiah, who came, as John said, to take away the sin of the world. These are the things that God has provided for us. And he doesn't demand. He doesn't stamp his feet and say, "You must be in church." He doesn't stamp his feet and say, "Sunday's the day off and you have to be in church on a Sunday. I'm not even thinking about anybody else. I do other stuff on a Sunday. Most of it revolves around getting ready for church," but God doesn't stamp his feet and demand. And God doesn't grab you by the lapel and slap you stupid until you give in. God reasons. He says in Isaiah 1:18, "Come, let us reason together. Though your sins be like scarlet, I'll make them like wool. Though they be red like crimson, I will make them as white as snow." God reasons. He invites in the book of Revelation. He says, "I stand at the door and knock. If any man will open, I will enter in and I will sup with him and he will sup with me." That's what Jesus said. And the whole way through the Gospels, even the Old Testament, God said, "If you obey me, I will bless you. If you don't obey me, you're on your own. And if you're one of my people, not only are you on your own, but you might actually find that I'm against you as well." God invites, he reasons, he discusses, and he gives us this huge book. Mine is about 1,800 pages in it, 1,700 pages in it. And in it gives us sin, prophecy, promise, the doctrines that really we should be following if everyone's to get a fair shake of the stick. And it's all there. He doesn't demand money off of us. He says you should give a tithe. And then you should let me show you how you can live on the other 90%. He never raised his hand to anybody. In fact, the only place that ever got Jesus annoyed that I can think of in the Bible was whenever he walked into church expecting a light and a bright and a godly and a holy spirit about the place, and the guys were making a fortune changing money and selling animals in the entryway. Remember what he did then? Tipped over the tables and chased them out with the small cords, but never raised a hand to anybody. In fact, he even said, does anyone remember when the Lord was about to be arrested and Peter had the sword out and an ear whipped off one of the high priest's servant's head? He said, put your sword away. For they that take the sword shall perish by the sword. And he went on to say, thinkest thou that I cannot now pray to my Father, and he shall presently give me more than 12 legions of angels? And one angel was able to kill 180,000 men of war in one night. Think about that. He never defended himself. When he was slapped, when he was spat upon, when his beard was plucked, in full accordance with Isaiah 53, where it said he was oppressed, he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and the sheep before his shears is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. He is not here to beat the tar out of us. He never forced, and he always allowed those that he ministered to and said, here is what you need to know. He always allowed them to make up his own mind. I want to tell you something, friends. Having an education does not make you smart. Not by any yardstick, not by any net. I know people that have gotten degrees that we could have put into the walls here. They're as thick as two befores. Does anyone remember the rich young ruler that came to Christ one day? He said, Lord, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Jesus said, what about the commandments? How's that working for you? He says, I follow them all and it's still not working. The Bible records these amazing words. It says, the Lord, looking on him, loved him and said to him, you worship money, and you need to get rid of that spirit about you and worship me. Money is all that you think on. Money is all your life is all about. What he actually said was, go and give all, sell everything and give everything to the poor and come and worship me. He didn't mean he had to do that to get saved. He meant that as an example, and the thought of it would do in his heart. And the fellow went away sorrowing, the Bible says, because he had great riches. He knew, and he made a decision. He never forced anybody. He always reasoned with them. Give you a couple of things that sprung immediately to mind as I was thinking about this. Our Heavenly Father, God, our Heavenly Father, he is our Lord. He is, someday he's going to be it's not him that judges, but he is in charge in heaven, and he dispatches angels to look after us and help us out. He offers himself as a listening ear at any time. We can talk to God at any time. If you're saved, and if you want to be saved, you can talk to God at any time. You can just say, Lord, I want to be saved. Would you please save me? If you mean that from the bottom of your heart, he will save you. And not only that, he says, when you are saved, at any time of the day or night, you can come and talk to me. It says in Hebrews 10, it says, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest through the blood of Jesus Christ. Back in the day, if you ever entered into the presence of the king unannounced, there would have been like rows of people with arrows and swords and spears. You might have got one step in. I think your second step might have been flat in your face with lots of things sticking out of you. Even Jesus Christ, he made himself our advocate. Not just in death for all of our sins, but in eternity alive.
in the face of the accuser of the devil. It says in Romans 8, he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Goes on to say in Romans 8:34, it is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Christ is there. Whenever the devil comes pointing a finger at you and pointing the finger at God, and he says, that is already paid for. And the Holy Spirit, he wants to be your friend. He wants to be your constant companion. He wants to be your comforter, your teacher, and your guide. Again, in Romans 8, a chapter well worth looking at, it says, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings that cannot be uttered. Sometimes you don't know even what's good for ourselves, but the Holy Spirit will petition God on our behalf. When Jesus was talking about the time that his life would be over and that he would be offered up, he said, look, if I don't go, the Comforter is not going to come. That Comforter is the Holy Spirit, who will bring all things to your remembrance and will teach you all things whatsoever I have said unto you. So he gave us a book. He gave himself in 33 years of his life in this world, and he gave himself as a full payment for our sins and his awful death on this world. And even now he gives himself, sitting on the right hand of the Father, that gives himself to listen to us, fighting our corner against the devil, and he gives himself in the Holy Spirit to help us and to help us to see things clearly. And even more than that, that seals us until the day of redemption, the day that we stand in front of God and save souls. This book that so many people think is for pressed flowers, birth certificates, marriage certificates, and death certificates, it's a book of life. Someone once called it Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth. That is literally what it is. It's quite detailed instructions alone. There's one other, we did mention it earlier on, but in Hebrews 1, it talks about the angels being ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who will be heirs of salvation. These are not the actions of someone that hates the people that he spends time with. God wants to give us every advantage, every good gift, Jesus said, every advantage and as much time with him as we want on this world. He wants to make good on all the promises that he has kept in there, to lift you up when you're down, to speak comfortably whenever the world disappoints you, to give you the words to speak whenever you need them, to help you overcome so many of the things that drag so many other people down. These are not the words of someone that hates his creation. These are the words, the deeds, of someone that loves his creation and wants to save the essence of it, the soul of it, for the endless ages of eternity. To keep you safe here and now from the predations, and I do mean the predation of the world, the flesh, and the devil. Anyone remember that old verse? Be sober and be vigilant, for your adversary the devil walketh about like a roaring lion. See, that's not a lie, friends. That is the, if you'll forgive the expression, the God's honest truth. He wants us to make sensible decisions with unclouded minds and live in bodies that haven't been ravaged by sin. As the world tries to convince us to fit in. Oh, you have to fit in. I'm going to tell you something. The broad road that leads to destruction, there's plenty of space on it. It really is.
And all of these folks, all that they're doing is fitting in a broad road that is leading them to destruction in this world and hell and the lake of fire in the afterworld. And God, He doesn't want that. Those are the actions of a creature, of a God that hates this world and hates the people in it. The actions of the God that loves you, that want the best for you, they're stored in their entirety in this book. And they're there for anybody to look at. World, the flesh and the devil want you. And they want you in the worst possible way. To destroy you. In fact, I think there was a few times that whenever Norman and myself were working on the church, we would have discussions about the state of the world. And we used to make these grand claims. These people that are doing all these crazy things, killing children, wrecking the country, they're more than happy to have anybody work for them. But after the flavor's all gone from them, after they're used up, you just spit them out. Like a used up piece of gum. That's what the world, the flesh and the devil will do to you. I am sure you know people that have gone to a Christless eternity as drunkards, as philanderers, as thieves, as murderers. It's an awful way to step off this mortal coil. And it is good whenever some of those souls with a little bit of time in their hands come to the understanding, hey, I might not have a life to give to God, but I do have a soul that needs saved, just like the thief on the cross. I'll ask God to save my soul, and as far as the Bible is concerned, they're saved. This is what Jesus said, and I'll stop with his words. In John chapter 8, he said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth ever. If the Son shall make you free, you shall be free indeed." Stop on there. Thank you very much for your good time and attention. I appreciate your endurance as we work through that little bit of time. Conqueror or friend? Right. I think we have one hymn left to sing. 245. 245 in the big hymn books, if you're able. Stand with me as we sing "The Old Account for Sin." Let's bow our heads and we'll be dismissed for the week there. Amen. Thank you again, Heavenly Father, for another day that we're able to gather together and open your word and have a wee look at it and see how it affects us and indeed the rest of the world. I pray you please that you would bless us as we part company, our wee bit of time of fellowship, Lord, that too. And that you would be our friend, comforter, helper and guide as we walk through this world. Please cleanse us and refresh us and prepare us to meet the week, Lord. And we ask all this in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Folks, God bless you. Shake hands and fellowship for a bit. We are dismissed.